You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's top flight football podcast. Looking forward to the 10 Premier League games this weekend. Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
And on the line now, Derek McGovern is with us as well. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, chaps. How are you? Great to have the Premier League back, isn't it? French national anthem and all.
Yes,
instead of the international stuff.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Let's get straight stuck into this weekend's football. As ever, we'll start with the televised matches. And first up this weekend, we have Watford versus Manchester United at 12:45 lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Watford 100-30 to win this match. The draw 9-4. Man United in the betting at 10-11. Enhanced odds here with William Hill. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win is 8-1. Juan Mata to score and Manchester United to win is 4-1. Lee, Manchester United haven't conceded a goal since CSK Moscow scored against them in the Champions League. That was six games ago, back in the end of October. They still look terrible, though. They look toothless, and the football they're playing has been drab. Fair?
Absolutely fair, yeah. I was talking to our old friend and colleague, Ron Atkinson, in the week, actually, and he's doing MUTV. And he says it's pretty difficult at times. You know, Ron actually said, Derek, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, he thinks this is the worst Premier League ever. And I'm sure we've been saying that. I'm sure he said that every year. But, I mean, he's got a point, hasn't he? I mean, I know you'll agree with that because you always say it as well. But he said it's awful watching them week in, week out, and watching this United side. But let's be fair about this. They're 2 points off the top. They beat Watford. They go top of the table, you know, at least in, you know, for a few hours. It's hard to argue with a manager who's getting results like that, I suppose. And you know, he can just show you the league table and say, there you go. The United fans aren't happy with that. They're obviously been fed on a diet of success with attractive football,
yes,
you know,
they have.
And quality players. But as it happens, you know, that's what they're doing. And we're talking about this from a betting perspective. And they're giving us every help they can. I've been struggling a little bit, you know, obviously over the start of the season, trying to figure out what Manchester United actually are. But we should really thank Van Gaal here, because what we do know is that they won't give too much away. Away from home, he's managed to tighten up as well, because that's where they were struggling. They conceded two at Swansea, two at Southampton, three at Arsenal. But since then, they haven't conceded in either game at Everton or Crystal Palace. Now, Everton were off colour that day, remember, when they won 3-0 there. 0-0 draw at Crystal Palace. We also know a lot about Watford, and that's that they are very tight as well. The two goals they scored at home against West Ham is the most they've scored in any one game this season at home. Before that, they'd only scored once, and that was against Swansea. I don't expect them to score against Manchester United either. I think this is going to be a very, very tight game. And one of those 12:45s that struggles to get going. Again, I think if Watford were really brave for you, I think they could actually go and have a real go at Man United. But 100-30 isn't quite big enough for me. I think in Ighalo and in Deeney, they've got players who can score from nothing, and they can hit Man United on the break. Just don't think Man United will be that ambitious to actually allow them to be hit on the break. Not much up front for Man United, of course, as well. Prices are pretty big, though. Rooney 17-10, Depay 23-10. The fact that James Wilson is fourth in that list says an awful lot about Manchester United.
He does, and they've lost Anthony Martial.
Yeah, Marouane
Fellaini's not going to be fit either. Jesse Lingard's been in the side. Fleetingly,
yeah.
He could start on Saturday afternoon as well. Maybe not a bad bet, 13-5 to get a goal.
But I wouldn't be surprised if this is nil-nil. I mean, you know, you're always risking having, you know, that a special goal in the Premier League when you go for a nil-nil. But under 1.5 goals is 2-1. Wouldn't be at all surprised if it was a 1-0 either way.
Derek, your thoughts on this match, Watford versus Manchester United. Back-to-back wins, 2-0 wins for Watford against Stoke City and West Ham, but they lost at Leicester a couple of weekends ago. Manchester United won the last eight meetings between the two. They've actually not played each other for 8 years, though, these two sides.
Yeah, that record doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Diddly squat for that one. And they haven't conceded a goal for, you know, many, many weeks now, Man United. But, you know, you leave saying, well, why are Watford going to score past them? Well, you look at Stoke's record recently. They've hardly conceded a goal either, but Watford managed to stick two past them at Stoke, by the way. I mean, this is a tidy side, Watford. And I'm actually believing at 100-37-2 they're almost as unmissable as the last unmissable bet I gave you, which luckily I missed. I just can't see why United are odds on. I know Lee, if they win in assists, they're going to go top of the league, albeit temporarily, blah, blah, blah. But Big Ron, he knows better than most of us, it is the worst Premier League ever. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you put half the teams from the Championship in this league, I don't think they'd struggle. That's how bad this league is. And I'm talking about the top teams, the top four used to be, used to be stones better than the rest. The bang ordinary. It's a terrible league. And the fact that Man United might be top doesn't matter to me at all. There's been a big concertining of the clubs now, and there's no outstanding team. Man City on the day, maybe, but the lower clubs on the day can be the equal of the bigger clubs. And Watford at 7 to 230, I think it's a sensational bet.
If you are looking to play Manchester United in this match, they are odds on at 10 to 11. If you scroll down the page, Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals is a bet that has been coming in with regularity recently. 12 to 5, Man United to win and under 2.5. But Derek going with Watford. And Lee, your best bet there, under 1.5?
Yes.
At 2-1 in that lunchtime kickoff. That's Watford versus Manchester United. The tea time kickoff should be more entertaining. Manchester City versus Liverpool, 5:30 p.m. Man City 4-6 to win the game. The draw 3-1 and Liverpool 19-5. Enhanced odds here, Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win is 3-1. Philippe Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win. A big price, 14-1, Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win. Crystal Palace, Derek, dealt Jurgen Klopp his first taste of defeat with their 2-1 win at Anfield a week last Sunday. Liverpool looking to bounce back quickly. Hopefully they'll have James Milner back and, more importantly, Daniel Sturridge looking to regain his fitness as well, Derek.
Well, yeah, but, if Sturridge plays, how long is he going to last and will he be fit? I can't imagine he'll play. I can't imagine he'll bring him back. He's only just started resuming full training this week too, so I can't see it. I've got a mate who won't hear of defeat for Liverpool in this game, so I can only assume he's deaf because, I just can't see where he's getting his confidence from. 1 point Liverpool have picked up from 5 visits to Man City in the last 5 seasons, and I just don't see them improving on that record. Yeah, Klopp came and they had so many draws, 1 or 2 wins involved. But then, Palace burst a bubble, and I don't see that much of an improvement in Liverpool from the dark days of Brendan Rodgers, later reign. I think Man City are 4-6 a year. So Man City at home, we're looking at 2-9 territory week by week by week. 4-6 here, I think it's a very, very good bet. I could see City going to town on Liverpool here. I really could. I think they're very, very good bets. And Sterling, City to win and Sterling to score. He's looking a lot more dangerous now, isn't he, the former Liverpool player? He could have had his pick of clubs, apparently, Sterling, but he moved to Manchester because he didn't want to uproot his families. So I might have a little dabble on that because I like Sterling. I think he's a sensational player, but the 4-6 will do me anyway.
Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win 3-1, but Derek going with City just to win at 4-6. Both teams have actually scored in the last 6 meetings between the sides in the Premier League. Lee, it has been a very entertaining fixture in recent years, and I can see this being entertaining as well on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was reading a piece about the the talk about Sturridge, and rightfully so. But I think the back is where the problems may arise. Reading a piece in The Guardian about the impact that Sacco's had since Klopp's come in. He's played all but one of the games, I think, since the new manager's come in. And although he can look a little bit ungainly, he's been really effective. Now, because of his injury in that defeat by Crystal Palace, they've now got to go back to Lovren and Skrtel, which, as we know from before, wasn't the most watertight of combinations. It's a great line, actually. It says, one backs off too much, the other one charges forward like an agitated drunk on roller skates.
Really?
So interesting. And you don't want to be facing City, do you, at home with all their skill if you are a little bit shaky in defence. I think City will win as well. I'd go one further than Derek. 4-6, absolutely fine. I'd go one further than Derek and take your bet into consideration and look at City to win and over 2.5 or City to win and both teams to score. I don't think they'll win 3-0. I think that would be an absolute, you know, an absolute pasting for Liverpool at Man City. So I think I'll go for the match result and both teams to score. Man City to win and both teams score 23-10. They've got a good record at home against the top clubs. Beat Chelsea 3-0, of course. Did lose to Arsenal 2-0, of course. 1-0 against Man United, 4-1 against Tottenham, 3-1 against Liverpool last season. And Liverpool have only got one win against any of the other top six sides in the last season. That was against Chelsea, of course, when they won 3-1. Beaten by Man U, drew at Arsenal, drew at Tottenham, drew at Chelsea, lost 4-1 at Arsenal. Last time they went to the Emirates before that as well. So not a great record on the road against the big clubs. I just think they'll be missing at the back. And I agree about the front line. It's not quite there yet, is it? So City to win, both teams to score, 23-10.
Good bet. City win and both teams to score, 23-10. I was speaking to Derek, a journalist, yesterday on the Football Writers Association podcast that we do here with William Hill. And he was suggesting that Daniel Sturridge, it's more of a mental block with him now, and he sort of alluded to the fact that he didn't expect Sturridge to ever return to his peak because he's got it stuck in his mind because he's had that many injuries. Every time he steps out there now, he's fearing the worst.
I don't know about that. I get the impression there are certain players, used to play with them even at amateur level, who, unless they were 100% fit, you know, they didn't want to know. They couldn't carry a knock, in other words, because they thought it would damage their performance and probably would. But, you know, when you're a professional footballer, you're always going to have some sort of affliction. You've got to go out there sometimes, you know, less than 100%. But he doesn't seem keen on doing it. So possibly that is in the mind, I suppose. But, I mean, to say that he's never going to be back to his best at his, you know, his young age, I think that's absurd.
After the last injury, he talked about it being a genetic thing as well, didn't he? He said it was like a genetic thing that they'd found. So, I mean, I guess if it's genetic, it's always going to be with you. But I agree with Derek, you know what I mean? I hate to be one of those people who harks back to years gone by, but I'm sure players played with more injuries back then. I know medical, you know, technology has improved and you shouldn't be chucking players out there if they're half injured, but I agree with Derek.
You look at the likes of Suarez and Messi. OK, Messi's been out recently injured, but for most of their career, every week they'd be playing. Yeah. They were never, ever injured.
Mm. No. Sanchez is the same, isn't he? I mean, he can't just be lucky players, can they?
Exactly. You're not telling me they've gone out
there.
They're
playing with niggles.
They've got Bruno. Suarez was getting kicked from pillar to post. He was like the Black Knight in the Monty Python film. come on, have a go then. And he's got no legs.
I know Derek's a massive fan of rugby league as a game. And those players go out there with, like, you know, broken bones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They get smashed to bits by other players. I'm sure... Yeah.
What do you think to those players, Derek? This has happened recently in the Premier League. Those players that are rested before they get the injuries now.
Yeah.
That happens, doesn't
pre-emptive,
it?
Like,
yeah,
that.
Preemptive.
This is Sanchez, isn't it?
That's when they're resting goalies, that does my head in. Jesus Christ. What's going on
How
there?
Can you rest a keeper? He's got to rest all match, hasn't he?
when Balotelli was at Liverpool, he rested more when he was playing.
Running up and down the touchline.
That's Man City versus Liverpool. Man City 4-6, the draw 3-1, Liverpool 19-5. On to Tottenham versus West Ham, which is Sunday's live game at 4 p.m. Tottenham 8-15 to win this one. The draw is 3-1 and the Hammers... 5-1 enhanced odds here. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 7-4. And Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win in the market at 12-1. Tottenham, both these sides actually been superb this season so far. Locked together in the league on 21 points, Lee. Tottenham's performance against Arsenal in their most recent Premier League match was excellent for large periods. Didn't kill them off, though, and Kieran Gibbs nipped in and got that equaliser. West Ham have actually faltered slightly recently with the loss at Watford followed by the draw at home against Everton. And the big news here, Dimitri Payet, who has been instrumental for West Ham throughout the season, is out for this game, out for 3 months, and that could be a huge factor in the future for West Ham.
Yeah, it could well be. We were talking the week, weren't we? I was talking to one of our one of the training bosses, Derek, and he was saying they'd been looking at the stats on West Ham, and they're one of those teams who everything's been going in for them. When you look at the actual stats of shots and all the rest of it, everything that could fall for West Ham has fallen for them, done brilliantly. But he said over a course of a season, that will level itself out. Now, it might be that, you know, this injury is blamed for that, but it may be that they're about to embark on a bit of a dip in form. But for a team, I know the best player so far this season is missing for this game. But can you ignore 5-1?
No.
When they've already been to Liverpool and won, and been to Man City and won. I ignored it my peril in the Man City game. I thought, now they can't do it again after beating Liverpool. You know, so you know, I think 5-1 is way too big. I actually think the draw is a huge player in this game, though, because I think Tottenham are a decent side, and I think he's got them going. I think in Kane, they've got a player who's scoring now. Obviously, you've got Dele Alli as well, who's obviously risen to prominence in the last week for England.
Dyer as well.
Eric Dyer. Look at the list of players. Eriksen. We got you never thought you'd say this, but one of the major misses for them this week will be Eric Lamella, but they get Heung-Min Son back as well into the team, so they've got plenty going forward. Dembele there, they're a good team. I think 5-1's massive, really, for a team who have been as good as West Ham have been, but I'm not going to back it. I know Derek will, so I'll leave him to do that, and I'll be the weakling as usual, and you can either take the draw, no bet, or the +1. I think that 5-1 gives you a nice price to be able to get stuck in with a bit of insurance on your side. So West Ham plus a goal is 11-8. Great bet to have two outcomes on your side, and you get a price about 11-8 about it. 100-30 for the draw, no bet. So West Ham win, you get paid out 100-30. If it's a draw, you get your money back. I'll go for the +1 West Ham. I think it'll be 2-2 draw, by the way.
That you know, that's a professional bet, Lee. You know,
thanks.
For West Ham with the draw 11-8. I mean, that's just crazy. But
our betting expert, it gives me great pride for you to call me a professional.
I'm going to go for West Ham at 5s. You know, for many of the reasons Lee's just outlined, and Tottenham. Well, basically, you know, you look at West Ham 5-1, and you know it's gigantic, and then you look at Tottenham at 8-15, and it's minuscule. It's just too short, isn't it? I can't work out the prices. Let me ask you about the anatomy of odds making in the Premier League. Right, every punter who will look at this fixture, who's been looking at the Premier League this season, will think West Ham 5-1 too big. Every punter will think that. They might not all back it, but they will all think that. Right, so how have all the bookmakers? They're all five. Pretty much every bookmaker is 5-1 West Ham. So has every bookmaker and odds compiler come up and think, West Ham, we're making about 5-1 for that game. Whereas every punter in the land knows it shouldn't be more than 3-1, maybe 7-2. What has happened? How do your odds compilers get to 5-1? Is there a tissue? Some one guy working in an office somewhere in Waterlooville or somewhere like that decides, right, this is the tissue for this game, and I reckon 9-2, 5-1 West Ham. And then all the odds compilers trust his judgment, and then he follows suit. Is that what happens? Because I can't believe for a second that there's, 10 to 12 different odds compilers who all think West Ham are 5-1 pokes here. Can you explain that?
I think they're led by others, and I think the fact that Payet is out and he's been so influential for them this season, they are thinking. I know what you're saying about people wanting to back West Ham at 5-1, but without Payet, are people going to be wanting to back West Ham at 5-1? I'm not as convinced by this as you two chaps. I think Spurs are one of the best sides in the league, and I'm not entirely convinced West Ham are.
No, what you said about the stats and all that, it's fair. And it possibly is true that everything has fallen right for West Ham. And, you know, they've scored 12 goals away from home. Maybe they've only had 14 shots on target in those games. But the fact remains, the level on points with Tottenham, they're playing fantastic away from home. And the 5-1, it's just...
I think the draw's big, though. I think they might... I'm not speaking for the traders because it's way above my skill level. But... I think I sense that they're trying to get West Ham in, and the draw is massive for them. I think the draw is the biggest play here, personally, because I think West Ham. I like the way he sets teams up, and I think you know when a major player is out, the first couple of games that player's out, the other players step up to the plate.
You only
start to sense his absence, I think, after a few games. So I don't think they are going to be that affected by him not being there. There are other players who've played exceptionally well in this team. I think it's interesting, though. It's too big a price. You just sense that they're trying to get lures in, don't you, Derek?
Yeah.
That 5-1.
Yeah, they are. That's exactly what they're doing. But, you know, but to be worried about that is to admit that the odds compilers know more than you do. And they might well do. Well, in your case, yes, they certainly do.
But, absolutely. I'll admit that.
I'm not having it. I refuse to believe that they do.
Fair enough.
One bet that could be worth looking at here as well is the goals bet. Only West Ham have scored more first-half goals than Spurs. So these two sides have scored more first-half goals than any other sides in the Premier League this season. For the first half to be the highest scoring half in this match is 19-10. When you consider, obviously, the tie is a big runner there. When you consider the second half's even money, maybe have a look at that 19-10 for the first half to be the highest scoring one as well. just to recap then, both with the Hammers, 5-1 for Derek, and you're playing the Lee, you're playing the plus one West Ham.
11-8.
On to Monday night. This is a belter for Monday night. Crystal Palace versus Sunderland is the third time this podcast, I think. Crystal Palace 8-15, the draw 3-1, and Sunderland in the market at 5-1. Enhanced odds here. Johan Kabay to score and Crystal Palace to win is 7-2. Stephen Fletcher to score and Sunderland to win, a huge 14-1. Derek, I think we expected Sunderland to be a bit tighter against Southampton after they were thumped by Everton 6-2. They were tighter but still got beat at home 1-0 by Southampton. Crystal Palace arrested their slight slump in form with a 0-0 draw at Selhurst Park against Manchester United, and that was a game they could have won as well.
Yeah, they could have done. What a horrible fixture. They could have done, and they're at home to Sunderland, and therefore you think, yeah, good things, Palace. But they're 8-15. Do you want to back Palace at 8-15 at home? They've lost more games at home than they've won this season, Palace. 3 out of 6, they've only won 2. Conceded more goals at home than they've scored. And you're asking you to back them at 8-15. But it's Sunderland. You can't back Sunderland, can you? They're away from home. 6 games away from home, being battered in 5 of them to do the other one. Can't really see, apart from that lone victory against Newcastle, you can't really see, you can't make a case for them, can you? You know, they're the same price as West Ham are at Tottenham, and I would sooner back West Ham to beat Tottenham than I would Sunderland to beat Palace, but I can't bring myself to go for Palace here. I'm gonna have to do the sensible bet and go for Sunderland with a goal start, which will be around 11-8 mark. I can see Sam Allardyce going there and telling his men, don't lose. Whatever happens, we can't lose this. And when Sam Allardyce sets up a team like that, generally they don't lose. So that would be the sensible bet.
Sunderland plus one is 29-20 here. This was actually the corresponding fixture last year was on a Monday night as well. And Sunderland won that one.
I remember that 3-1. Game. I remember that game because they were, I'm sure they were terrible before that, and they suddenly popped up with this great performance. It's interesting. I was looking back at the and I'm not saying you base your betting on the day of the week here, but when you look at Monday night games for Crystal Palace, because you know that thing. I mean, Ron always said this, didn't he, Derek? And Robbie says it as well when he was in the punt. You know, under the floodlights, Monday night, Selhurst Park, that kind of thing. It does create a different atmosphere. Look at Crystal Palace's Monday night games over recent seasons. They won 2-1 against Man City last April. That 3-1 defeat to Sunderland. Before that, there was a 3-3 with Liverpool, the famous 3-3 with Liverpool. That was a Monday night as well. Going back even further than that, there was a 4-1 defeat to Fulham on a Monday night. I mean, it's just a strange thing that there seems to be a lot of goals in their games on Monday nights.
If you remember back about a year and a half ago, Sunderland had that streak in Monday night games. They'd gone 20 without winning one.
Yeah, they lost the previous one.
Palace.
That's right, the previous one to that, the Palace game, they lost 5-1 at White Hart Lane on a Monday night as well. Look, you know, 6-1 they lost to Villa on a Monday night.
They had the worst run ever on a Monday night.
Yeah, they lost 4-0 before that to Everton on a Monday night. This run goes on and on and on. So I'm going to go for over 7.5 goals.
unless Sam Allardyce says it's Tuesday. They don't know what day it is anyway, though.
It's true. It's because they've been out all weekend, you know, that you can take the Mackhams out of Sunderland. Over 2.5 goals is 10-11, by the way. It's a pick'em, the over and under 2.5. Now, you know, putting all that to one side, you would fully expect Big Sam to take his Sunderland team there and shut up shop, wouldn't you?
I think this is the worst side he's ever taken over. Yeah, and in this situation, everyone's thinking Sam Allardyce, he'll get Sunderland out of trouble.
Yeah.
But the personnel that he's got, Derek, in this squad, they're just awful.
Yeah, they are.
They weren't much better against Southampton, though, to be fair. The problem he's had, and he said this, is that they're making too many mistakes, obviously. Now, they barely made a mistake until they gave away the penalty and Tadic tucked it away. Southampton,
they were getting battered. Because obviously I'd had the Sunderland plus one as my nap that week.
I didn't think you were going to mention that.
I was going to mention it, and I was concentrating on that match, those Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. They were getting battered
in that game,
in all honesty.
They weren't making stupid mistakes. They weren't making stupid mistakes. I don't think they can get through a full match without making a stupid mistake here. That's the problem. And if they get an early goal against them, they tend to panic like mad, don't they? Emotionally, he says they can't cope with that, which is a strange thing to say as a manager. I'm just going to play over 2.5 at 10 to 11. I'm going to go on that. The over 3.5 is 9 to 4 as well. I think Palace know they have to win this game. They're 8th. They've got nothing to worry about. 19 points. This is a game that Palace must win, really, I think. Not for any other reason than just, you know, to keep their momentum going. I think it'd be disappointing to draw with a team like Sunderland, you know, let alone lose.
Yeah.
Don't see Sunderland winning at all. So I'll go for the Palace win and over 2.5. But just for, you know, I do like the over 2.5 at 10 to 11 as well.
This is one of those games, Derek, if you had to preview all 10 games and you could pass on one of them, this would be high on the list, I think.
It would, yeah. It would be the only pass Sunderland would make. It's a tough one to call, this one. But that said, you know, I live for weekends like this in the Premier League because, you know, I always like the bigger prices. And in a league which I don't think there's, you know, there's that much to choose between best and worst, you're getting 5-1 Sunderland, you're getting 5-1 West Ham, and later on we'll come to 5-1 Stoke. Oh boy, will we come to that. So, you know, this is a weekend when you'll... there's some tidy away prices this weekend. And if you look at the stats, there have been as many away wins in the Premier League this season as there have home wins. So, you know, here's a chance for you to get your Christmas money.
Indeed.
Before
you finish that, you mentioned it at the start, Kabaye to score and Crystal Palace to win at 7-2 is decent. He scored penalties in two of the last three games. If we're talking about Sunderland making mistakes, you know, if Palace are pouring it on and they give away a penalty, and it might be one of those games that's, you know, if it is a dull game and Sam sets up with a, you know, kind of, he parks the Sunderland bus in front of the goal, maybe it'll be something special from the likes of Kabaye that could win it. So I wouldn't put anyone off that 7-2 headline offer. Enhanced odds.
Yes, enhanced odds now. Let's get stuck into the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday then. Southampton versus Stoke first up, the match that Derek just referenced there. Southampton 4-7 to win this match. The draw 11-4, Stoke 5-1. Enhanced odds, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is 2-1. Jonathan Walters to score and Stoke to win is 12-1. Lee, Jonathan Walters will fancy this, won't he, after what happened midweek, him to score and Stoke to win 12-1, 5-1 Stoke to win this game. Southampton are unbeaten in 6 Premier League games now, 1-4 and drawn 2. The last time they enjoyed a longer unbeaten run in the top flight was back in November 2013, where they went 8 games unbeaten in total. Stoke, though, only lost 1 of their last 7 in the Premier League and have kept 4 clean sheets in the last 5 as well. So 2 reasonably informed sides here.
Yeah, and you know what I think of Southampton. You know, while they're not you know, ripping the Premier League to bits, I think they're a very, very well organised team. You know, they're currently 7th in the table, kind of motoring back up to where they were for most of the season last year. They're only, you know, 4 points behind Manchester United, so they could leapfrog West Ham and Tottenham if they win this, and those two teams draw, for instance. So nothing to worry about. Haven't lost an away game, Southampton. At home, they lost those two. The defence hasn't been as good, Southampton's, but they've just started to get back on track. I think Stoke need a team who will come at them to hit them on the counter-attack. Let's not forget, you know, Stoke at the moment, you look at the goal scoring table, you know, they've only scored 10. That's the lowest in the Premier League with West Brom and Aston Villa at the moment. They need to find some goals from somewhere. Against Chelsea, you started to see signs, I think, that, you know, that Shaqiri is fitting into life in the Premier League. And, you know, I thought he was fabulous and gave them problems all afternoon. You just wonder, I mean, that headline offer says it to me. I mean, Jonathan Walters, hard-working, good player, and like you say, he'll be full of confidence, but stoked to go to that next level, and that next level is like, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, where maybe Southampton are at the minute. They need a proper striker. They need someone who's going to tuck the ball away when they start to create chances. But I don't think Southampton will give them the opportunity to create the chances anyway. And with so few chances being created by Stoke, you know, they're averaging under 10 shots per game at the minute. I think this is going to be a low scorer. I think Southampton will do what they've been doing, and that's control the game on their terms and not let Stoke do what Stoke want to do. So, yeah, a low-scoring draw for me. Draw on under 2.5 goals for me. I think either a 0-0 or a 1-1 here. Over to Derek to tell us why 5-1 is his nap of the week.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. It's similar to the West Ham game and the Sunderland game. You know, the sensible bet, the way to make a profit is to back Stoke with a goal start, 11-8. Because that's opposing Southampton is the way to make money here, because they are criminally underpriced. What you mentioned about the strikers, by the way, I don't think there's that much issues between Jonathan Walters and Graziano Pelle. If I was a manager and I had those two at my disposal, I'm not sure who I'd pick. I don't think Pelle is unbelievably overrated.
At St Mary's, you'd probably pick Pelle, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, he's got a good record at home. Yeah,
I think Talich is a better player personally. I think Talich is a fantastic player, actually.
Well, yeah, I think Stoke, even though it doesn't, their scoring record this season, it doesn't reinforce his opinion. I think Stoke have got more possibility of stardust in their ranks than Southampton have. You know, the likes of the players you just mentioned, and Bojan as well.
Arnautovic as well, yeah.
Yeah, Arnautovic on his day, yeah. I mean, I can't understand why they're 5-1. They don't win often enough, I suppose. That's one reason. They've won 2 out of 6 away games, but they've only lost 1, drawn the other 3. They've only conceded 5 goals away from home, and they haven't conceded in their last 3 away from home. And what, Southampton 4-7, 8-15? It's a ridiculous misreading of the situation here. But where Southampton are concerned, I've said that often, and I've come a cropper. Well, I've just got to keep going to the well. I've got to go for Stoke here at 5-1. I'm not letting out. Yeah, back an 11-8 winner, which you will do if you back Stoke with a goal start. That's fine, and you're happy with that. You make a profit. But it doesn't fill you full of happiness, does it? 5-1 winner, that's something different. I'm having that.
That's Derek in a nutshell.
It is. You've got to push the boat out, haven't you?
To be fair, though, I mean, you know, going back to that, you know, that West Ham one, it's a nice little double, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be fair, you know, it's one of those, you know, all right, you might want to take both the 5-1s, you know, and go for it. But, you know, that plus one double, I think that's decent. That's about 9-2. Yeah, decent price for the 2-11-2-8s. And you've got, you know, 2 results on your side in both matches.
Yeah.
Just to reinforce what Derek was saying about Stoke as well, actually Stoke's best ever position at this stage in a Premier League season, which I couldn't believe when I read that. And
shows how good they are in the second half of the season,
does,
doesn't it?
It does, so maybe definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, only 4 points off. So if they beat Southampton here, they go up to 19, you know, go up to the kind of the, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th position. So, yeah, I thought they'd do really well. I thought they'd do better this season, Stoke, than they have done so far. So fingers crossed that they do continue to grow and get better.
On to West Brom versus Arsenal next. West Brom 11-2, the draw 16-5. Arsenal in the market at 1-2. Arsenal have stuttered slightly, Derek, with below par performances against Bayern Munich firstly and Tottenham. Away form in the Premier League, though, has been strong. They've won 10, drawn 1 and lost 1 in their last 12 away from the Emirates. And this is a fixture they have dominated in the past.
They have. You know, it's a long time since they lost there, isn't it? I think they've won 3 and drawn 2 of the last 5 visits there. But they've got a lot of injury problems, as you say. There's talk that their main defender, Koscielny, is still traumatised by what happened in Paris last weekend. There are reasons to oppose them, but I've always said that when Arsenal go away to teams like West Brom and Newcastle and Swansea, and I keep opposing them and I keep ending up skint. But once it's two, is anyone going to back them at that price to win at West Brom? I mean, we know what West Brom are going to be setting up. I mean, the big fail in West Brom this season is their home form, when they've been shipping goals, totally unlike a Tony Pulis side away from home. Yeah, you know, you know what to expect from them. I've got a feeling he'll set them up like an away team this weekend, because Arsenal will have most of the ball anyway. He'll be allowed to do that. The fans won't get on too much on their back because they expect it anyway. I'm just not sure about Arsenal. I'm not backing them at 1-2 here. I'm tempted by West Brom at 11-2. And, you know, the old 5-1, 11-2 mark, there's plenty of them dotting the coupon this weekend. But I'll go for West Brom with a goal start, again around the 11-8 mark, 6-4 mark.
West Brom plus 1 for Derek is in the market, 8-5 here with William Hill. West Brom plus a goal in this game. Under 2.5 goals, by the way, if you fancy West Brom to keep it tight. That's even money. They've had a habit, West Brom, of either keeping a clean sheet or conceding 2 or 3. There's been no in-between for West Brom recently.
No, there hasn't, has there? I mean, I was just looking at the defensive record at home while Derek was talking there, and they allow 14 shots on their goal per home game, which is much higher than you'd expect. And Arsenal are the best team away from home in terms of shots on goal. They average 18 shots on goal a match, not all on target, of course. So, you know, you've got one of the worst teams in terms of allowing shots on the goal and the best in terms of having them. Be interesting to see what happens with Sanchez. We mentioned earlier in the podcast about, you know, resting players. There's been a lot of talk about Wenger resting Sanchez. I mean, can you really afford to do that? I'm not so sure, but he is the kind of player who will play every single game he possibly can. I was just looking through the... I mean, I know this is old hat, but you look through the injury list for Arsenal, and there's players there you forget even play for them.
Yeah.
Rizicki.
Yeah. Well, has he ever been off the treatment table in
Welbeck. Welbeck, remember? Yeah. Remember he signed for them? No, seriously, though.
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's
unbelievable.
Just weird, isn't it?
Walcott always in the treatment room. I mean, I reckon the treatment room must be absolutely beautiful. It'll be like a spa, won't it? Or like there'll be like maidens, you know, mopping their brows and like bathing them in milk. Akpom, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ramsey, Rizicki, Sanogo, Szczesny, Walcott, Welbeck, Wilshere, and Zelalem, maybe not him, Kashani the Doubt. I mean, that's almost a team there you could put out. But I think they'll get the job done. They're flat-track bullies, aren't they, Arsenal? I think they'll find a way here. Really amazed by the amount of goals that West Brom are scoring and conceding at home. They conceded 3 to Chelsea at home, 3 to Everton, 3 to Leicester. In between there, they had a 0-0 draw against Southampton and a 1-0 against Sunderland. So it's kind of like they do the right thing by the manager, and he must let them off the hook a little bit in training. And then the next week, they go mad. Whereas Arsenal scored 3 at Swansea, 3 at Watford, 5 at Leicester. They are flying away from home at the moment. Just looking back at the matches at the Hawthorns, not very high scoring. 1-0 to Arsenal the last time they went there, when Welbeck scored, actually. It was 1-1 the season before there, where another injury player, Wilshere, scored the only goal for Arsenal. Rizicki scored the 2 before that. So if you follow this, they shouldn't score because only injured players managed to get goals there. But I'm going to say it's going to be another open one because Arsenal only know that way of playing. And I'm going to go for bit of a bet that's landed a few times this season in Arsenal games, especially away games, and that's Arsenal to win and both teams to score.
12-5.
Yeah, it's a massive difference between the 1-2 and the 12-5. And let's not forget that West Brom have got goal scorers in their ranks. You know, whatever you think of them, Berahino and Rondon, I think, are a decent partnership. I like Rondon a lot. Both big prices, both 14-5 to score at any time in this match, by the way.
It's one of those as well, that 12-5 will look bigger if Koscielny doesn't play.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Because he is integral at the back for them.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, I think they've got some good forward players, West Brom. Probably not as many good defenders as they would like.
On to Newcastle versus Leicester City. Newcastle 9-5, the draw 5-2, Leicester City 7-5. Enhanced odds, Jorginho, Wijnaldum to score, and Newcastle to win is 6-1. Jamie Vardy to score, and Leicester City to win in the betting at 3-1. And this game maybe hinges around the fitness of Jamie Vardy. At time of recording this on Friday morning, still uncertain whether he's going to play. It sounds like he may have the pain-killing injection to get him through this game, and obviously chasing Ruud van Nistelrooy's record as well. The match does revolve around Jamie Vardy.
It does. Well, he's had a painkilling injection, and all the Newcastle fans have asked if they can have it as well. Yeah. The manager says Steve McLaren says he finally knows what his best team is, FC20. Because Newcastle, Jesus. It's coming to something when they're at home to a team like Leicester, and Leicester are favourites, but you've got to understand why, haven't you? I keep expecting the wheels to fall off. Everybody does. But they're not falling off. They're bolted on. And I'm almost tempted to say Leicester are bolted on here at 7-5.
It's just hard to believe it, isn't it, Derek? Still, yeah. I still see Leicester City and think favourites away from home against Newcastle.
I know. But the only reason you can say that you can back against them is to believe that, yeah, the wheels will fall off. But come on, we're a third of the way through the season now. And they're playing as well now as they have done all season. Vardy's the catalyst. And I'll tell you what, if someone gives me an even money bet that he'll play in this game, well, I'd have everything got on him, all £5.50 of it. he's chasing the Van Nistelrooy record. He'll probably get it. You couldn't wish to play against a side more suited to breaking a record against the Newcastle, couldn't you? A scoring record. I think he'll do it, and all credit to him. He's been an absolute sensation. And I really hope he does it, and I hope Leicester win, because I'll be on him. Even at 7-5, it's way too short, I know that, but I can't back against them.
Headline offer, remember, the enhanced odds offer here. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win in the market at 3-1 here with William Hill. It'd be worth referencing Riyad Mahrez and his performances as well, because those two have formed a bit of a tandem, haven't they, really? Mm. And he's crucial to their success as well. Newcastle, I think there's a bit of upside there. Iotsi Perez is starting to play a little bit better. They did get a result against Bournemouth as well, albeit Bournemouth dominated large portions of that match. How do you see this, Lee?
I agree. I mean, we've got a couple of Newcastle fans in the office, and Newcastle fans are the first to admit when the team isn't great. But both of them keep saying there are signs. You know, there are spells here and there that they're coming back to it. And I thought, to be fair against Stoke, I mean, I thought that the goalkeeping performance from Butland was absolutely fantastic. And you look at the amount of shots that Newcastle had that game, 9 shots on target. Which is plenty, isn't it? 4 wide, so 13 shots in total. It's an open game from both of them, actually, because I think Stoke had 11 shots on the goal as well. And he was on another day, they could have won that game. You know, they scored 6 against Norwich, they scored 2 against Chelsea, only scored 1 against Watford in that game and lost to Arsenal, of course, at home, but scored 2 against Southampton at St James's as well. So it's not like they're goal shy at home. Newcastle United, you know, in fact, you know, they've done all right in terms of scoring goals at home. If you look at the list, they've scored 11, which is, you know, I think it's fifth best in the Premier League, fifth or sixth best. And Leicester, we know they don't really know how to defend away from home, do they? I mean, their results away from home are brilliant. If you're a travelling fan, 2-1 win at West Ham,
yeah,
1-1 at Bournemouth, 2-2 at Stoke, 2-1 win at Norwich, 2-2 at Southampton, and 3-2 at West Brom. That, you know, scoring goals for fun, 8-13 over 2.5 goals, which is about as short as I'll go, I think. I could back that, but I think Newcastle win this.
Do you?
9-5.
Okay.
I do. I think Vardy, as much as I'd love to see him, and in my book, by the way, he has got that record. He scored them in consecutive games in the same season. Van Nistelrooy scored them over the summer. That's not the same.
Oh, is that right?
It can never be the same. And anyway, John Aldridge and other people did it in the old, before the Premier League. So it's not a record, is it? You know, football did exist before the Premier League.
I think with the injury,
that will take a bit off him, even if he has an injection. Look, it'd be daft to kind of oppose him now, wouldn't it? But I'm going to go for Newcastle to win at 9-5. If Newcastle are going to win the game as well, it stands to reason that both teams will score. So no need to back them at 9-5. Back them at 17-5. There's no way Leicester don't score, given their record so far, whether it's Vardy or Mahrez or someone else. 17-5, match result, both teams to score, Newcastle.
On to Swansea versus Bournemouth next. Swansea 4-5 to win this game. The draw 13-5, and Bournemouth in the betting at 7-2. Enhanced odds: Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 3-1. Glenn Murray to score and Bournemouth to win in the betting at 14s. Derek, all is not well with Swansea at the moment. Gary Monk, still a short price to be the next manager to leave his position here with William Hill. They're without a win in their last 4 league games at the Liberty as well.
Yeah, they're looking a shot side. And Monk, you know, I thought, remember he was a big gamble a few weeks on him to go and he went down to odds on, but I thought that was a load of nonsense. But there seems to have been a kernel of truth in it, because he's favourite again now. But 4-5, Jesus, I know they're only playing Bournemouth, who are getting beat by everybody, but 4-5, Swansea are giving the run there on it. I couldn't bring myself to back it. Even if I backed it and they won, I'd still be kicking myself, you know, being such a loon. I couldn't do it. And Bournemouth, there are signs, aren't there? I know they watched 5 straight defeats and two of them were 5-1. But, you know, they could have easily got something against Newcastle the other week. They could have arguably got something against Southampton when they lost 2-0 the week before that.
Played well against Liverpool in the cup, didn't they?
Yeah, even with a shadow side. But I was still at that game, yeah. You know what? I'm going to go for it. It's my old rule, and it's 7-2 side away from home, blah, blah, blah. I've got to go for them. I think we could have a huge number of away wins this weekend.
Okay, Bournemouth 7-2 for Derek. Something I mentioned out in the office earlier in the week, Lee. Swansea only had 3 different goal scorers this season.
Yeah.
Lowest total in the league in terms of spreading the goals around. Bafétimbi Gomis, who's out of form. Andre Ayew and Gylfi Sigurdsson, who takes the set pieces. Only 3 players that have scored for Swansea, which is a worry going forward, I think, in the league this season.
Yeah, it is, definitely. I mean, I think more of a worry, though, is that you know, kind of famous passing game, you know, that they've got, that the, you know, they keep the ball away from the opposition. I think that's the thing that seems to have let them down. They haven't been able to hold the ball as much as they would have liked. You know, to be fair, though, I mean, look at the home form, just to put this into context a little bit. Obviously, they beat Newcastle in the first home game, beat Man U, drew with Everton, drew with Tottenham. At that point, you're thinking, nothing wrong here. Everything's going along quite nicely. They lost 1-0 to Stoke, which, you know, they weren't absolutely battered in that game by any stretch of the imagination. And it's not the end of the world losing to Stoke anyway. Then they lost 3-0 to Arsenal. Again, not the end of the world. And this is an Arsenal team who are scoring goals against everyone and are a very, very good team, of course. It was 0-0 until the 50th minute or something like that. So I don't think it's anything to get really worried about. I'd be more worried about Bournemouth. You know, that and Derek says, you know, there are signs, but still away from home. I mean, it's you know, they've scored, they're conceding so many goals. The only really good performance I can remember was against Liverpool when they lost 1-0 at the opening day of the season. Since then, they did beat West Ham 4-3, remember. Conceded 3 at Norwich, 2 at Stoke, 5 at City and 2 at Southampton. I think Swansea will see this as a really good opportunity to get something. And I think they have to get something here, really, as well, because they're on 13 points and hovering above that relegation zone. I'll go back to Andre Ayew, I really liked him at the start of the season. Someone who can unlock a defence with that pace, and he's got a great finish on him. 15-8 to score any time here. I don't think there'll be a lot of goals in the match, but I could see Swansea somehow get into a 2-0 win. Whatever you think of Swansea, you know, Bournemouth are worse, and they've got so few options up front now. I mean, if you're looking at a goal scorer, by the way, for them, your old favourite here, Matt Ritchie, he's got a cannon on him, hasn't he?
Unbelievable.
3-1 any time he is.
The problem is he just shoots every time he gets it.
Which I don't mind that at all, to be fair. But
when he's taking a throw-in.
I'll leave the result alone, just go for Andre Ayew to score any time.
He takes kick-ins, Derek. He does it differently. Swansea versus Bournemouth. Everton versus Aston Villa next. Everton 1-2 to win this game. The draw in the market at 3-1. Aston Villa 6-1. Enhanced odds. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 2-1. Rudiger Stead to score and Aston Villa to win in the market at 10-1. Villa now gone 11 Premier League games, Lee, without a win.
Yeah.
Drawing 2 and losing 9. That's the longest winless streak in the Premier League. There's clearly a gap between these two teams in terms of ability, but at least Remy Gard got a little bit of the desired response against Manchester City a couple of weeks ago, and he's had those 2 weeks to work with some of his players that haven't been on international duty.
Not many though these days, are there? And one of the problems that, you know, for a manager when the players go away is that if they come back with injuries, and Jordan Amavi, who's been one of the positives for Villa, has come back from the France under 21s with a knee injury, so it doesn't look like he'll be involved. Which is a problem. That means he's got to move players around in his team and try and get something out of them. I mean, yeah, you're right. He did get a reaction out of them, but look, I don't think it's going to be enough. I mean, I hate to kind of say, oh yeah, he's no good as a manager. You know, I don't know too much about him, obviously. You know what I mean? I'm not an expert on Gard. It's harsh just to say I don't think he'll keep them up. I'll tell you very quickly, Derek, when I talked to Ron earlier in the week, he said to me, he asked me if there was a price. There isn't, unfortunately. He asked me if there was a price or a market for the points total for relegation. Ron thinks it could be 29 for safety this season, which I thought was crazy talk.
I'm not even sure mathematically.
When you look now, 12 matches gone, Bournemouth are on 8. You can't see an awful lot of improvement for Bournemouth to actually, you know, you're talking about, you know, obviously we've got, you know, 38 games in the season, haven't we? Now, they've 12 gone, 8 points for Bournemouth, 6 for Sunderland and 5 for Villa.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in a crude sense, you treble those games, don't you? And that's not how it works, obviously.
No.
But where are they going to get points from? And you look above them.
Yeah.
You've got Newcastle, maybe you could see some improvement, maybe not. Chelsea, obviously, will move up the table. Norwich might get dragged in. You'd think Swansea should be okay. West Brom, who out of those teams above are going to get dragged into that bottom three?
Yeah.
And I wonder about Villa. I wonder if the best they can do is muster a goalless draw. I'm not saying they should have got any more than that, but I worry about Leicester. I really do. I don't think I'm not sure that we're going to see much more. I worry about Villa. Sorry, I'm not sure we're going to get much more out of Villa this season, to be honest with you. I don't see where the goals come from. You know, the really long goals scored 10, the lowest scorers in the Premier League with West Brom and Stoke. I don't see where it's going to come from for them. And I think, you know, I don't really like backing Everton at 1-2, if I'm being honest. But they're a much better side than Aston Villa. And I think, you know, following on from the 6-2 home win, the last home victory against Sunderland, I think they beat Villa here. I think, you know, Villa may well have been, you know, really keyed up. You know, it's a home game against Man City. I think they'll get stung here. They've been terrible away from home. I think Everton win. And I think there'll be over 2.5 goals in the match. So Everton win over 2.5 for me. I'm not going for the both teams to score because I think Everton could win 3-0.
Everton to win this game and over 2.5 goals, 13-10 here with William Hill. Derek, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if 29 points is the yardstick for staying up, Chelsea only needs 6 more wins, and they'll be safe. That's good news for them. I mean, are Villa as bad as they look? I mean, Christ, not even Chelsea are as bad as Villa look at the moment. That 0-0 draw against Man City, yeah, you know, shows promise, but come on, if you look at that game, City pasted them, and it could have been 7 or 8-0.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, Villa, you look at Villa, and you think, where are the points going to come from? Well, they've got 5. I'm staggered they've got that many, because they're a very, very poor side. If you're under Sunderland in this league, that's how poor you are, and Everton will win this. Everton are 1-2, are they?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Let's say they were 4-7, the same price to beat Villa as Southampton are to beat Stoke. Come on, which bet would you rather have? Everton will beat Villa all day long. It's a nail on set.
Yeah, and if you're looking for the Premier Fantasy football markets, go to the specials. Lots of markets under there. Romelu Lukaku involved in that highest scoring player market. He's 6-1. And
I was going to say that I'm not a massive fantasy
quite
football
like that.
Player, but I think they will get a bit of a pasting from Everton, to be fair. And like I said, I'm not a massive fantasy player, but interesting. There's loads of markets they've put up there. It's a new thing. I think it's 3 weeks old. This is so if you like your fantasy football, then have a check on that. The specials page is 6-1. Lukaku to be the highest scoring player. All the details are at the bottom of the market.
Yeah, and they're all listed on the specials, and we've got a full range of markets, and hopefully we'll have a podcast in the not too distant future as well.
Woo-hoo.
Fingers crossed. We finish the week with Chelsea versus Norwich. Chelsea 4-9 to win this game. The draw 100-30, and Norwich in the market at 13-2.
How many games have we done this week?
This is the last one.
Okay.
This is
about
the last
15.
One. We've waffled
I've enjoyed
on a
it.
Bit.
No, I've enjoyed it. I'm just saying, they seem to have done loads of games.
The enhanced odds here: Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is 2-1. Cameron Jerome to score and Norwich to win 8-1. Derek, we're in November here. And Chelsea lost 7 games in the league already. And to put that into context, Jose Mourinho has never lost 7 games in an entire season managing any team in any league up until now.
Jeez.
So that's how badly they've done. We're not at Christmas yet.
No, it's incredible. For these are the champions a few months ago. I mean, we all know they're better than their recent form. Yeovil are better than Chelsea's recent form. But would you back them at these odds to beat Norwich? The simple answer is no. And the reason, they're a basket case. Yeah, the manager is, that's a certain. And the players just don't seem to want to play for them. Where would you get make a case for them to back them at 4-9? Okay, I know it's only Norwich, but this is a team that, you know, had a couple of decent results. Well, a decent result last time out anyway against Swansea. I'm not getting worked up because everybody beat Swansea. But I'm not backing Chelsea at 4-9. They allowed Liverpool to go there a few weeks ago and win convincingly. Southampton won there easily, didn't they, more recently? Mm. I just can't have them. I just cannot have Chelsea.
Would you back Norwich?
Well, that's the thing. No, not at these prices. I would want at least 9-1, 10-1.
13-2, so short, isn't it?
Yeah, not big enough.
Jeez.
I might go, you know what I might do? I might go for, well, Norwich with a goal start again. What price are Norwich with a 2-goal start? Probably about 4-6.
Yeah, 8-13 they are.
8-13.
So around about that.
Tight, isn't it? Yeah, but I can't see Chelsea wiping the floor with them. That's what I'll do. I'll play safe on a very tricky fixture for me. Norwich with a 2-goal start.
8-13, Mr. Phelps.
God, it's a great imponderable, isn't it? What's going on at Chelsea? No one seems to know. I've got a theory.
Go on.
I think that Chelsea have given their mojo to Leicester. They're in the wrong positions. Yeah.
On a three.
Yeah. Leicester are third, scoring goals for fun. Great striker. Chelsea, right down there in 16th. They're in the wrong place. I think I'd like to see when you look at the top four odds, I was saying I'd like to see a match bet. I know Chelsea would obviously be massive favourites. Chelsea are 11-4 to finish in the top four. Leicester are 12-1. You know, they're already on 25 points. That's 14 ahead of Chelsea.
I just can't see Chelsea. I can't see Chelsea clawing back. There's 13 points behind.
So what are they saying then? So in the match bet, who will finish higher, Leicester and Chelsea?
No,
Leicester would be about.
Similar sort of thing, definitely.
Yeah, we're about 2-1. Leicester to finish above Chelsea. I'd have that all day long. Why wouldn't you have that?
Lee doesn't fancy that.
I'm tempted, Derek, with that.
Are you tempted to lay in the 2-1?
14 points is a lot, isn't it? Yeah, I am tempted to lay. I think Chelsea will finish above Leicester at the end of the season.
Okay.
Do you not think so? You think Leicester will finish with Chelsea at the end of the season?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not sure. I'd sit on the fence here.
November.
I'll just be the mediator here, I think.
You weakling.
Intermediary between the two parties.
I mentioned one of the very early previews we did. I was reading one of the articles in The Guardian, and I've seen this in a couple of places, actually. This idea that maybe, you know, it's time for Mourinho to kind of, you know, change his thoughts on tactics. Why is he still playing Costa up front on his own? When Remy came on in that last game that they played, in the game against Stoke, it was actually Costa who threaded the ball through when Remy probably should have got a penalty when he didn't go down in the end. And he looked much better playing off Remy, and Remy being the man who's up front. Mm. I think he should start. I don't see why against Norwich you shouldn't be going out there with two men up front now. Put two strikers up front, take some of the pressure off Costa if you have to play him, and change things up a little bit. You know, there's got to be something else coming from these fantastic players than what we're seeing at the minute. I agree I'll wholeheartedly with Eric about the 4-9. It's impossible to back Chelsea at that price. But I'm going to go on the idea that he will play Remy.
Okay.
And I think 11-8 is a much better price in my mind than the 21-20 for Costa at the minute, who, as that article in The Guardian said, is picking more fights than scoring goals at the moment. Own goals are their leading scorer, remember?
Yeah, Loic Remy 11-8 any time for Mr. Phelps, and Derek going with Norwich +2 at 8-13. We're almost at the hour mark here, chaps.
Wow!
So, let's get
Dude,
the naps.
Lucky listeners.
Let's get the naps. Derek, you kick us off this week.
Right, my first nap is Stan Wawrinka at 11-10 to beat Andy Murray in the tennis today, Friday. Unbelievable bet.
I agree.
We'll win. And my other nailed on bet is Stoke 5-1 to win at Southampton.
Stoke 5-1 for Mr. McGovern.
What are you going for?
I'm going with
5-1.
I'm going with Gerard Deulofeu to score anytime.
Wow.
I'm going with
it. Where'd you pick that one?
Very keen on this one this week.
Jeez.
He's 11-5 to score. Aston Villa, as you mentioned, shipping goals away from home. Deulofeu having scored at home against Sunderland in that 6-2 win. Went on international duty for Spain under 21s, scored 5 goals in those 2 games.
Interesting.
For the Spanish under 21s. And there's a link that, or there's an article out there suggesting that Barcelona are going to recall him at some point. He's playing that well. Mm. I think he's a fantastic player. And I think 11-5 is big for him to score any time against Villa. So that's my pick.
I'm torn between two over 2.5 goals bets. The Monday night one, which is based on those crazy stats of the Monday night games for both clubs. It seems to be something about the Monday nights that Sunderland don't generally like, and neither do Crystal Palace, but goals galore in their games. That's 10-11. And the other one was the over 2.5 in the Newcastle-Leicester game.
Go with a bigger price.
Do you think? No, I'm going to go Newcastle-Leicester. I'm tempted to go Newcastle to win in that game, by the way, but I'll go over 2.5, 8-13.
Superb. So that's treble with the over 2.5 at  8-13 going into it is Stoke at 5-1 to win away at Southampton. Gerard Deulofeu to score at any time against Aston Villa for Everton, 11-5, and over 2.5 goals, 8-13, Newcastle versus Leicester. Pretty much bang on 30-1.
Wow.
Very nice.
That treble this week.
That'll keep us going for another. Well, we're in credit, aren't
we're
we?
In credit at the moment,
there's
aren't we? With the trebles.
For, is there?
No, nothing at all. Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
It's been fun.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast this weekend. Remember, you can download the podcast via iTunes. Check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. And myself, Lee and Derek, will be back for all the action next weekend. If you're having a bet this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.